and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambill. I am the host of this show. Welcome. I play here Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 p.m. It's Bible study. Tonight, in Bible study, just to let you know, we're going to talk about what events have happened that's been predicted in the past that have already happened. And we're going to talk about the 70 weeks of Daniel, kind of like a summary of what we talked about last week. Family, you are being lied to by many theologians today. I have to tell you right off the bat. All that's a negative note to start off with, but I'm sorry. Satan is prince of this world. The supernatural, Satan, is god of this world, but he's not king. When Jesus Christ comes back, takes his position, takes his place, takes his rightful throne at Jerusalem after Armageddon, the real Armageddon, that is. That would be the real Israel. You're being lied to on the highest level of government, of the churches, TV, many places. Those following the majority are being deceived massively using wrong Bibles, the King James only Bible. There's not a theologian from any college, any university in the United States can prove otherwise, literally. They haven't yet, and they're not going to until they're falling away. That should count for something. Don't y'all, people out there that hadn't figured this out, some of them, you still follow the new King James, you still follow the New American Standard, the New American Standard Bible, the ESV, the Jerusalem Bible, the Message. Oh, we'll get to Doug Dynasty. Yeah, those pagans have their own Bible now, like Ellen G. White and all these others who come up with their own Bibles. They can't do that. They have no authority to do that. Zero authority. None. Which proves they're absolutely not Christian whatsoever. No way possible. Family, you're being fooled on the highest level, internationally, nationally. It's a setup of the falling away and can be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. People don't want to see the evidence. They don't want to consider the evidence because it's too negative. Well, negative is going to get you sent to hell if you don't look at the truth. It is serious business going on today. Serious. Family, and the Bible's clear. It is not ambiguous like they'd have you believe. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast now. And I have to talk today about gun control. But gun control covers many facets, many areas of this New World Order. It's not just gun control. There's many different directions this thing, this subject matter can go, which I'll cover today. And I do foresee the possibility exists that we'll go until tomorrow with part three. But we'll see how far we get today. I'm going to talk today, gun control, and its biblical context. I'm going to talk both sides, pros and cons. I don't take a side on this. It's not for me to take a side. Who am I? I just present to you both sides, as between you and God. That's it. I don't take a side. You got to fight for the. I don't get into all that mess. It's up to you what you do between your God, between God, the Holy Spirit that's inside you, and what you decide to do based on your relationship with God. All I do is present what I can in 2 hours each day. You make up your own mind. Because that's between you and him. Me, I got my own issues about this gun control, about self-defense and all that. It's a stickler for me. I have to admit, I'm a former U.S. Marine. You know, I believe in home protection. I taught people for decades to kill, to self-defense, personal protection, arrest techniques and methods, etc. Both sides of the spectrum. So for me, it's a change. So I had to do a Bible study on it and a broadcast on it so I would learn too. I share it with you. That's how it works. Then you do your own with your own prayers, your own relationship with the Savior, your walk with him. Is what counts. Lord, we pray today. We come before you in prayer. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Forgive me, Father, of my sins and my thoughts that might not be pleasing to you. Lord, teach us, teach me, as I have this broadcast. Father, listen to the prayers of the others, other people listening. Lord, you know each other's prayers, what we all want, what we're asking for. To teach and show us, Father, that we're pleasing in your sight. We do pray for our families, friends, and our own soul. We pray that you keep your shield of protection over us this day. In the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord, for each other this day. Most of all, we thank you for this network that we acquired, that I acquired, that, Father, I include everybody that is a member of this. member, Father, that attend, participate, share. But most of all, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross in our place. For our Christian brothers and sisters who've become reborn. We pray for all the people who've total faith in you, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the souls who are reaching for the salvation. And Lord, that they will take your hand and walk that narrow path with you. Father, we pray that these seekers who have no knowledge of you, who find their way, and their way from this dark road that they're traveling today, that narrow path, Father, to find that narrow path leads away to you. And Father, so through your holy word, that they gain wisdom from your truth, so these souls will receive eternal life. And Father, so they'll be able to live forever in your kingdom. Lord, we also pray for those who are on this radio station, this network, in this Watchmen for Jesus program, their families. And Father, you give them a triple-fold portion of courage, understanding, wisdom, and strength, Father, to deliver the word. We pray, Lord, for your army. They'll grow into mighty and be valiant in their efforts to spread the word of the gospel. And the reproving corrections are done in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of love. We pray that discernment and wisdom will come to the forefront of all the unbelievers. And wisdom and discernment will come to those delivering the word to turn those unbelievers around by your pre-planned, Lord, divine appointments. Lord, most importantly, we pray for these churches, ministries, who are bringing the false teachings to everyone, to open their eyes and ears and get the courage to pull away from these controls that the government, the secret societies have over them. And so, Lord, so they'll bring the truth to all the sheep that are searching for the nourishment, that they'll get the proper teaching from the King James Bible. Lord, we pray your blessings on these. And Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit bind up all the powers and principalities and evil forces of this world that are hindering our efforts. And the spiritual wickedness in high places to be brought to bear. Father, we call upon the Holy Spirit to loose the powers of God, the warring angels and ministering angels, and the sevenfold Spirit of God to come down and do mighty battle on earth today for us. We ask you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit to bind up every force of evil in our way and loose every force of good, wisdom, discernment, that will have the power and authority to do so in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this power and authority over the enemy and the use of the name of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, this world right now is under the power, lies voluntarily under the power of Satan. God listens to our prayers when we're obedient to Him. If you're not obedient to Him, He's not going to hear Him. You got to open up that channel. Man, you got to pay the bill. What do you mean you got to pay the bill? You got to pay the bill. You got to sacrifice self in order that God's going to hear your prayers. You can't be a sinner, Freemason, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Knights of Rhodes Scholars, you guys, with a blood oath hanging over you. It don't matter how many good deeds you do, hospitals you build, it means absolutely zero. I promise you. And the Bible confirms it. You've taken a blood oath against God. You say, well, a blood oath means you're going to shed some blood there, right? Well, when you swear an oath to God not to reveal any secrets, and if you do reveal secrets, well, the first degree, you'll have your tongue torn out by the root, your throat cut across, your body torn in half. Now, what little bit of 30 years of self-defense, the military that I know about, that would equal a lot of blood coming out there, unless you can cauterize that tongue real quick. Because you're saying, if you have some kind of conflict of what the Masons are asking you to do, conflicts with God's laws, like lying, cheating, or whatever. Oh, absolutely. Oh, I can give you a five-page dissertation on how you do it. Please challenge it. I wish you would. On how you really mess over people. Even your own, when they turn away from you, you go after them. Because of blood oath. So you got to keep secrets from your family. Well, that's a big no-no. There's no secrets should be kept from your family. Your wife anyway, or husband or whatever. Easter Stars, Freemasons. No secrets at all in God's kingdom. None. Zero. So you take a blood oath not to reveal secrets or, quote, have your tongue torn out by the root? You have adults saying this nonsense for hundreds and hundreds of years. Well, I got it word for word of the first 3 degrees of Freemasonry. So now God's going to hold you to that because you swear to God not to tell any secrets or have these things done to you. So you're in a real quandary, aren't you? You're under bondage. What do I mean specifically? Well, I'm not going to dwell on it, but for example, if there's a non-Mason that's going to get a contract, he's supposed to, it's the right thing to do, and you lie and don't give it to him. Or you lie and get someone in trouble that's not supposed to be. Or you hire someone that doesn't rate it because he's a Freemason. That's dishonest. All the good deeds of the world won't get you out of scotch with God. But now if you do the right thing, you're going against God because you took an oath to obey the Masons. If you don't obey God and go against the Masons, you are also you're stuck in the middle, aren't you? You've got a problem, don't you? And when you do the wrong thing, God's going to convict you of the wrong thing. So you're really caught in a bind, aren't you? So you do good deeds to live in a fantasy world that you're okay with God now because you helped a little old lady across the street or whatever. It don't work that way. You're not blessed by God when you take a blood oath. No oaths in God's kingdom. Every idle word you will be held accountable for. Every word at your great white throne judgment, God's going to hold you accountable for every word you spoke since the day you were accountable. Accountable, not cannibal. You better think about it. Now, I know when you resign the Freemasons, you're going to catch all kinds of mess because they will not back you up. They will come after you. Your good buddies, yeah. When you leave them, they will destroy you and your family. If you have a high position, or they'll turn their back on you. No more cookouts and golf games. Nope, that's out. That's how it really works. And I do have a dissertation. It comes from several Masons. It told me, gave me information how these really mess people up. How they're sneaky. Despite the fact that the Jesuits, Knights of Malta, and the Jesuits and Knights of Malta are literally, in high positions, literally murderers. Who am I talking about? Churchill is one, Knights of Malta. J.P. Morgan and Churchill, as evidence confirms, were responsible for the death of 1,201 lives. Willful murder is termed on the Lusitania. They set it up to die. They set those people up to die on purpose. And that's a fact. That comes from testimony. And the sinking of the Maine. All these. Oh, it goes high up. Right down to some Timbuktu town in Florida where someone gets fired because they do the right thing or they tell the truth. They're not a member of the old boys club and they get fired for some stupid reason. God will remember that. Family, I'm dead serious about this. You better think about it, Masons. Better think about it. Gun control. Gun control in the Bible. You know, I want to add something to this that goes along with gun control and war and all that stuff. There was a study done when the first two three, was the third one hadn't happened yet, were planned by Albert Pike before 1871. We know that. Oh, yeah, three world wars was planned before 1871. Now, everything was set up after 1871 to get them all to work out. I'm not going into detail. It takes too much time. I'm going to get to the main point. So between 1914 and 1945, the first two world wars, revolutions were already planned before the turn of the century. History was already planned. Oh, I got testimony, all kinds of stuff, man. I don't have time to go over it right now. And so it began. Between 1914, the series of revolutions in Russia and China and Japan and Germany and all this is all set up, ready to go. They knew by 1954, no more wars until the final cataclysm called World War III, yet to happen, between Islam and Zionism, way down the road yet. So, they knew after 1954, there's going to be peacetime. So how do you control people in a time of peace? That was the purpose of the study in 1961. Because the best way to control people is war. Carnegie Peace Foundation ran a study in 1909 and determined after a year that the best way to control people was by war. So now let's have us a war. It was already planned anyway. Oh, this is an old fact. Norman Dodd referenced the meetings of that meeting in 1909, in 1961. He was allowed to read them because he was a standing member of the Iron Mountain Commission. So now we don't have any more wars after 1954. So how do we control people now until we can finally get that last war, which is yet to happen? So the report from Iron Mountain talked about different ways of controlling people in the time of peace until that final war could be taking place. Okay, I'm leaving a whole lot out. I'm not going to talk about the Iron Mountain Commission report. This is not the part of it, but I'm leading up to something. I'm not going to throw something at you and then get you to figure it out. I'm laying the groundwork. So, here's the example. determined. Many different ways of controlling people in the time of peace until this final war could take place. And this was going to cover 40 to 50 years. This is not a short time. It's long term. Because that final war will take away about 3/4 of the world's population. You understand this, right? It's in the Bible, family. It's called the second seal. God's already told us about it. Yeah, he has. Well, if you look at the substitute for functions of war, section 7 of conclusions of the Iron Mount Report, it tells you all of it. But I want to focus on one part. Actually three. Next, an established and recognized extraterrestrial menace. Here's where the ET lie is coming from. Massive global environmental pollution is a part of it. There's your Gore, who's a cousin of Bush and Clinton, by the way. Did you know that? Romney, Gore, Bush, Cheney, they're all cousins. Royal bloodline cousins to Queen Elizabeth II. They're cousins. They're doggone cousins. Bloodline. A lot of people don't know that. No, this is confirmed. Well, intensified environmental pollution and so forth. New religions, that's where Scientology came from, to control people. And also, a giant, 1961, a giant open-end space research program, quote, aimed at unreachable targets, unquote. Family, the space research program is a farce and bogus. They spent billions, billions, billions of dollars. Then they closed it down, remember? Columbia was a sacrifice. They closed it down, family, because it's a lie. If it wasn't a lie, they wouldn't have stopped it. Come on now. They closed it down because aimed at unreachable targets. They're lying to you. The evidence is clearly there. And a permanent, ritualized, ultra-elaborate disarmament inspection system has to deal with nuclear weapons, which is to create fear and control, and disarmament of weapons. But here's what I want to focus on for a second here, the main one. I'm still living out a whole lot. But I want to focus on one, and one that when I first started studying this years ago, I never really could grasp what it meant. Until one day, it's one of those aha moments, and boy, it just opened up. Quote, socially oriented blood games, unquote, from a sociological control function, from sociology, sociologically controlling people. They have economic control, political control, sociological control, ecological, ecology, and cultural and scientific. Of those five, you have just like a numerous number of projects. 1961. I want to go to socially oriented blood games. Now watch this. This is how it works in reality. Just to give an example of how they work. Games theorist, and this includes, family, this includes video games of your children. Oh, yeah. Family, when you got a video game teaching your children that they get points if they kill in one of their games, I forget which one it is, Call of Duty or something, I don't know, whatever. They get points for killing. In the one scenario I saw someone playing, in the airport, you get points for killing innocent bystanders. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You get big points for killing Spitznaz guys. It's really silly, but they fight their way out of an airport terminal, and you're them if you want to be on their side. You kill, you know, innocent bystanders. You get points for it. This desensitizes your children, and there's a supernatural aspect to all the video games that is in line with the rock and roll records talked about by John Todd. I'm not going to go there right now, but there is a supernatural aspect to these games that a lot of people don't realize, like the Ouija boards and all that. I'm telling you absolutely the truth here. So, they put all this in. The games theorists come up with these things. Now, here's what they have developed from their studies. And they're using it. And when I tell you about it, you tell me it don't work. Now, it talks about coming up with alternate enemies. That's where your Al-Qaeda, fake ISIS, Hamas, all these are fake. They're carried on by the intelligence agencies. In reality, in real life. And there's a justify the need for taking and paying a blood price in wide areas of human concern from the psychologists and sociologists that develop these programs and institute it into our lives and video games and TV and movies and books and magazines. And then they put the ADHD lie. There's no ADHD. It's a lie. These psychiatrists, it's a lie. Oh, by the way, NASA, you can't get a job there unless you're a Freemason. And you can't be an astronaut. John Glenn, the whole darn lot of them, I have no respect for them. You know why? Because they're Freemasons that lied to the American public. Absolutely. When I found this out, boy, I got hot on the collar. I have no respect for them whatsoever. Because they lie. That's why they're Freemasons and they're under a blood oath. Comes from the Iron Mountain Report. NASA. That's why they brought Von Braun over from the Nazis. Von Braun set up the Space Research Program. He's a Nazi. Look it up. Go on ahead and watch what happens. Surprise, surprise. Von Braun. Nazi. He admits a lot of this anyway. We're getting to disarmament here. We're hell on the way there. But this lays the groundwork in a way I don't think you've been told before. There's more to disarming than you can imagine. Games theorists suggested, for example, that the development of blood games, mixed martial arts, professional wrestling. Look at all the crazy garbage they do, like Ventura and all the others with these stupid-looking costumes they have. Oh, they're big. They're athletes. But look at the crowd, the blood craze that they get. The women that go around. And, you know, I'm a single guy and all that, and I was a former Marine, and you know, and I, you know, I'm heterosexual and all that, so I'm not innocent. My mind wanders. So I'm not innocent. And I'll expose myself if I have to. My allegiance goes to Jesus Christ. Above myself, above my country, and everything else. I either do or I don't. There's no in between. I had to learn the hard way. And I did. So don't think I'm some minister or innocent. I'm not, but I am going to tell you the truth. I'm owned by nobody. I have no benefit from this program other than the fact that I'm doing what God tells me to do in my heart. I have no benefit, financial, political office, zero, nothing. I do this because I know what I'm talking about and I have a drive to tell people the truth. And I tell people, do not believe me, but challenge everything I say. That being said, enough about me. But think back as I'm talking. These blood games, professional wrestling, mixed martial, blood all over the place. At one time, I had fought knockout matches. I loved it. In the point karate, I taught karate for about 25, 30 years. I taught martial arts. I taught hand-to-hand combat. For myself, I prided myself in specializing in knowing different ways to kill an individual with things you never even imagine, as we do in the Marines. I'd seek out new ways to kill, disable, to help someone innocent take on a bully, etc. And the use of force. Then teaching police, armed security. Then you had to go a different route with use of force. Escalation, they call it. So that kind of put a different spin to it. But there's an exhilaration in the street fight, let me tell you. An exhilaration in a knockout fight where you say, man, I can do whatever I want to here without being held back like in point karate, where you gotta, you know, you can't knock the guy out and you can't bust their nose or knock him out. You will get knocked out too if you ain't careful, but so what? You know, big deal. It's part of the game. But that freedom of violence is exhilarating. It's addictive. Just to let go, man. Well, family, I'm here to tell you, that's Satan talking. I have to tell you. It's intoxicating. That bloodlust. Now, here comes the blood games. Here's what now, I've laid the groundwork. It's taken me 30 minutes to do it almost. Now, you got the idea. Here's how they think. In the development of these blood games to control people in a time of peace, for the effective control of individual aggressive impulses, it's kind of an ironic commentary on the current state of war and peace studies that it was left not to scientists, but the makers of commercial film to actually develop a model for this notion. For the implausible level of popular melodrama. Kind of as a ritualized manhunt. Now, can you all name any movies that are popular today where they hunt children and the children fight back? Yeah. Several movies, aren't they? I can't think of the name of some of them right off the top of my head. I haven't seen them, but where they have a futuristic type of... matter of fact, there's one coming now, part three or something, I guess, where children are picked in certain colonies or something like that, and got to survive. They're taught to kill, and they represent their colony or something like that. That's movies that people love to see. Family, this is the sole purpose of these movies, TV, mixed martial arts. Not one bit different than the Colosseums of Rome. People don't realize this. How they become possessed when they go to these things. It's a fact, family. It's a fact. And these ones like Ventura and all the rest of them signed their name to Satan. Literally, in blood, just like the movie stars, singers and dancers of Hollywood, they actually do that. Now, I definitely can say that we're going to probably have part three tomorrow because laying this groundwork is... take a little while, but I don't want to throw something at you. I want to give you the full benefit of understanding how this thing works. Because, family, it's manipulating your lives. It's taking you away from the truth about Jesus Christ. That's what is going on today. That's important. It's very important. Now, I'm going to give you some audio here to show you from testimony. I'm not blowing smoke. Here we go. One second here. Oh, yeah. Here's the first start one. Melissa Ford. About 1 minute.
I had to ask some friends because I was hearing a lot about her, and so they told me, you know, who she was and what she was doing. And I come from the school of thought, there's just some things that the public just shouldn't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, things that happen between two people, wife and a husband, girl, I just don't think that it's for mass consumption. I just have always felt that way. And I just think that the whole idea of celebrity and fame has become really convoluted and, you know, kind of bastardized. Like, whereas fame used to be the byproduct of success, and now it's the ultimate goal. And if your ultimate goal is to be famous, then you're going to do a lot to get there, like sign your name in blood in a contract with the devil. Like, you're going to end up on a one-way street, and it's going nowhere. Like, that's just the truth. I've seen so many people, like, forsake their moral code and their value systems just for a little bit of fame, and it's not worth it at the end of the day. It's really not worth it.
Now, I'll show you that's not just a pick and choose. I'm going to give you another one. Katy Perry.
I mean, I released a gospel record when I was 15, because I grew up in, a household where all I ever did was listen to gospel music, and my parents are both traveling ministers. Got introduced to the music industry. I swear I wanted to be like the Amy Grant of music.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out, and so I sold my soul to the devil.
You see, this is representative of all of them. All of them that's made it. No exception. No exception. All of them in the 1960s. I mean all of them. The Beatles. All of them. They would not make it in Hollywood unless... Family, you couldn't get a position of anyone, any position in Star Wars trilogy, unless you were a witch or a Freemason. You would not get a part in that movie at all. You understand that? This is confirmed. This is how serious it is. This is how it really works. And I'll give one more. Let's see. Here we go. Oops. One more. That's really massive. And that pretty much seals it. That's not it at all. Stand by just a minute. That's one of the disadvantages of having your own network. You're doing your own work. Okay, 1 second. This one is slam dunk. With Jack Black during an award ceremony. Out of nowhere. during the Lord's ceremony, he comes up with this. It's about 2009 at the MCVA Music Awards.
Let me see those horns.
Wait a minute, hold a minute. Here we go. 2009. He just breaks out.
Who wants to pray to the devil with me? Who's in with me? Come on, hey. Let me see those horns. Let me see those horns. Metal. 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 And to the person next to you. Come on, lady. Dear Dark Lord Satan, hope everything's good with you. I'm doing fine myself. Just want to say hi and ask you to grant tonight's nominees continued success in the music industry. How's that?
Metal. Very metal.
Thank you.
Family, this is all catching up with us. This is reality. It's out there. And it's picking up steam. It's called setting up for the falling away. And people are ignoring it. They're not paying attention. They're going to their own little lives, little corners, TV, whatever else, hoping they'll just go away and not cause any trouble for me or whatever. Well, I got news for you. It's going to pick up steam. It's not going to just go away. It's going to pick up. God has warned us about it, told us to prepare, get our houses in order, and be ready for it. That's the most important thing you can do in your lives, in your children's lives, in your life, is seek the Lord Jesus Christ in all cases, in all this, because that is the bottom line. To uncomplicate it, that's the answer. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, that's your homework, is what the Joint Chief of Staff, your Congress, your CEOs should know. Otherwise, they will fail. They will not get their new world order, but for a short time, long enough to placate them, and then it's going to come crashing down around their heads, and there's not a thing they can do about it. Nothing. Once it starts to crash, they cannot stop it. They will not stop it. But in the meantime, they're going to pick up steam and increase it. And there's another incident that happened down in Florida in a commissioner's meeting. I may not be able to find that one right off the bat here because I'm putting this together as I'm going along. Sometimes I do this. I don't have a script necessarily. I go how the Lord leads me. And I'm going to go back to this blood oath thing here in a minute, but I want you to understand how up close and personal Satan has even put in your family's reach pink Ouija boards. Go figure. Ouija boards are definitely a connector to the supernatural. So they made them pink to make them look like there's no threat. Now, I'm going to play this. Now, you regular listeners, bear with me here, but I think I need to make a point to those, and we got a fairly large crowd today. Here is an actual meeting in a city council meeting in Florida. And I found out this is not the only one. There have been several. This is just one more This is one that really made the headlines. But they want you to know it. They want you to know it. It happened in 12 December, before Christmas. And what we see is the opening in America to paganism, false religions, and open Satanism. It is wide open. And the meeting was on 2 December. And you have about 8 to 12 members in this committee that when this individual gets up, the vice mayor, to give an invocation, half of them leave. He mentions Satan, Allah, Buddha, Zeus, Thor, and even Jesus in one prayer. And this is not playing around. They're serious about this. So I want you to hear it. Those who haven't heard it, here it is. Or an actual meeting in the lake, where is it? I forgot what it was. Is it Florida? Lake City or something like that. Florida. Oh, here we go. City Council meeting. Actual one. Whoa. Listen to this.
Priolo.
Here.
Vice Mayor Scott Maxwell.
Here.
Commissioner Christopher McVoy.
Here.
Commissioner Andy Amoroso.
Here.
Commissioner John Zerdy.
Present.
If everyone would please rise for the invocation, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Vice Mayor Scott Maxwell.
Lake Worth, Florida. Now, half of them just left. Talking about a split. Duly noted.
Duly noted. Our collective atheism, which is to say loving empathy, scientific evidence, and critical thinking, leads us to believe that we can create a better, more equal community without religious divisions. May we pray together. Mother Earth, we gather today in your redeeming and glorious presence to invoke your eternal guidance in the universe, the original creator of all things. May the efforts of this council blend the righteousness of Allah with the all-knowing wisdom of Satan. May Zeus, the great God of justice, grant us strength tonight. Jesus might forgive our shortcomings, while Buddha enlightens us through his divine affection. We praise you, Krishna, for the sanguine sacrifice that freed us all. After all, if Almighty Thor is with us, who can ever be against us? And finally, for the bounty of logic, reason, and science, we simply thank the atheists, agnostics, humanists, who now account for 1 in 5 Americans. And growing rapidly. In closing, let us above all love one another, not to obtain mythical rewards for ourselves now, hereafter, or based on superstitious threats of eternal damnation, but rather embrace secular-based principles of morality and do good for goodness' sake. And so we pray, so what?
Now the allegiance, and they all come back in.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Back to business.
Okay, agenda additions, deletions, or reordering. Pamela?
I guess at this time, staff would like to...
That's how it really works. And it's working fast. Because the more they pull away from God, God pulls away from us, from the world, from America. And Satan fills the vacuum. And it's happening. Now, I've only scratched the surface at this point to lay the groundwork. Back to blood games. The blood games is sneaking up on you. Your children have little dolls. Ventura caricatures. They practice it at home. Some have killed family members by accident. Notice those like Ventura who lie. Blood oath they've taken. They're Freemasons at the highest level. They have these silly TV programs who pretend like conspiracy theory ever that they were here, we're in front of the harp, and or we're coming up, and they're, well, it looked like the police are coming up close. They got all that set up, family. It's a lie on TV. All the games they play, it's all scripted out, pretending that they're really doing the truth, but they're absolutely not. And all those associated with Ventura and the rest of them. Lie to the American people. It's kind of an ironic commentary in the current state of war and peace. And like the other day, I was showing you that ISIS does not exist. And proved it. And Al-Qaeda does not exist and never did. And I proved it by CIA commentator himself, Hillary, General McCartney. Testimony I presented from their own mouth and showed you the Joint Chief of Staff that briefed the Council of Foreign Relations, our own Joint Chief of Staff, work against our military because they support the secret societies. Nobody's doing a thing about it. They develop a model for this kind of notion of state of war to control us. A level of popular melodrama. A ritualized manhunt. You see, the ritual might be socialized in the manner of the Spanish Inquisition. It all plays the same role, getting you ready. And your children, through the Humanist Manifesto that controls the schools today. And the less formal witch trials. There's no difference that the Catholic Church murdered 50 to 68 million people. In a 600-year period from 1200 to 1800 AD. Its purposes of social purification is what it's all about. State security. All the intelligence agencies, all of them, everyone worldwide, I proved also, work together against each of their citizens. Putin, Cameron, Obama, Bush, Clinton, they all work together, pretending not to. Bush, Kerry, Romney, Cheney, Colin Powell even, and many others, are cousins in the Merovingian bloodline. And they condition us through TV, drama, and so forth, and blood games to keep us with that bloodlust up and running because it's addictive. It always has been. And they're sneaking up on you just like they did in the days of the persecution of the Christians in the Colosseums. What's involved here is a sense, is a quest for William James' moral equivalent of war. Controlled. Kind of keeps us simmering. You know, it's also possible that these two functions we're talking about, considered under the heading, may be jointly served in the sense of establishing antisocial, where you need an alternate enemy, fictitious alternate enemy. You know what those were? Nazism, fascism, communism, Islamic fundamentalism. Yep. And you know that the way they coordinate it and touch your homes is a relentless and irreversible advance of unemployment and unemployability at all levels of society and the similar extension of generalized alienation from what we consider the accepted values before the baby boomers of the family unit had to be destroyed by 1948, beginning in 1948. To begin the takedown of America, they had to destroy the family. They've accomplished it. This has always been the agenda. And to note that there again is the precedent that the treatment that meted out to disfavored, allegedly menacing, and ethnic groups in certain societies during certain historical periods. And to prove to you, a quote from FDR, another rascal that helped set up Pearl Harbor in 1920 with Churchill and the Japanese elite. I'm not going to read you the whole quote, but I want you to, the quote is quite lengthy, behind closed doors, but one part of the quote, in March of 4th, 1939, I want to focus on, right quick, I don't have time to read the whole quote. If you want to read the whole quote, it's on my website, watchmanforjesus.com. The timeline, you'll find 200 pages on the timeline. March of 4th, 1939, behind closed doors. That's the real FDR, because that's the actual quote that was copied down when Senator Lundeen heard it behind closed doors in March 4th, 1939. And what FDR said in 39, 2 years before Pearl Harbor, the part I want to focus on, let me pick it out of the actual quote. Yeah. He said, I'm making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I'm putting my people, Illuminati, head of all instruments, that's the American people. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain. And we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war and a war only. Oh, what the heck, I just read the whole thing. To hell with American people, as far as a democracy is concerned, it doesn't exist. It never did, and we will never let it happen that way. I'm going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible. Whoa, there you go. Not just Obama. FDR is going to do the same thing. It's part of their plan. I'm going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible. In the last analysis, declare martial law. Confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My New Deal is a failure, and I know it. But no one else will tell me I must discontinue my present activities and program. Unquote. In front of three congressional committees behind closed doors, and that quote was copied down word for word by Senator Lundeen. In the 1950s, after FDR died, he gave it to William Carr, who put it in his book, Red Fog Over America. And you know Clinton Roosevelt? 100 years before, ancestral cousin FDR, helped bring communism to America through giving the documents necessary to Karl Marx to plagiarize. He got them from Adam Weishaupt. This is a reality. If you want to challenge it, go ahead. Please, please, please do. Family, you didn't know how Satan is actually working in our government, in our country, in the European government. The Vatican, the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars, have taken a blood oath against you. Jesus Christ is the one that you can support, trust. He's the only one. And he's already won. They have already lost. So they need to cause you fear in every which way they can possible, to cause you distraction, blood games, issues, cause us division, cause us to fight each other. And I explained that yesterday, and it's working like a charm. Now you see why yesterday and day before I explained to you, showed you, demonstrated why we have Jews versus Muslim, Zionist Jews against Messianic Jews, white against white patriots, white government against white patriots, state police against oath keepers. What's going on with you all people out there? What's wrong with you? You got veterans against veterans. Man, for God's sake, for goodness sakes, man, you got, wake up. You got black against white, men against women, children against their parents, straight against homosexual, atheists against the military. Family, these conflicts are being orchestrated. They're being orchestrated on purpose. They hire groups like ACLU, NAACP, ADL, KKK, Black Panthers Party, man, you name it, NRA, Tea Party, they control every single one. The effort to stop the, or slow down, or curb the suicides of our veterans, 6 years ago they formed this group. It's being ran by Paul Rykoff, a former Marine, who's a member of the Illuminati. For goodness sakes alive, what's going on there? He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. They're there to slow down the progress so our veterans will kill each other off. Why? To reduce any kind of possibility of any resistance toward the North American Union and the influx of the UN control of our country. Well, our colony here we have. Gun control is on the top of the list. Now, you know they're removing Christian symbols in King, North Carolina. Man, that's close to where I live. Matter of fact, I could go have dinner tonight and come back and finish the broadcast. Just about. I'd probably get a speeding ticket. They had one guy, a military guy, go figure, atheist. Remember the prayer we just heard from Florida? Yeah, atheist. That had a praying soldier as a symbol. It's always been in King. Threatened to sue King if they didn't remove it. Because the city knew they couldn't afford it, they removed it. This is all part. Now, what they do is set a precedence. That's how it works. They're starting to remove all the Christian symbols because of freedom from religion. Well, let me tell you what that really means. See, the act of removing Christian symbols under the guise of freedom from religion, that's a false nomer. You know why? Because the truth in these Satanists and humanists are not promoting a departure from religion, but they're making way for practice of their own in public view once the real God is removed. Isn't that sneaky? Yeah. That's where you get this common core, no child left behind. All these things are designed by the Illuminati to control the education. Because they're bringing humanism into the schools since school began. That's a fact. Charles Francis Potter says every school in America is a school of humanism. Since 1930. Since 1908. And we all didn't know it. Goes back to blood games. The bloodlust. This is what's going on today. So, it brings to gun control, y'all. Now, I will admit to you, I still have a problem. Myself, personal problem. That I'm trying to work out. I have to admit it. Of submitting to the government if they change the laws. Romans 13. All government is ordained by God. All government. Even a despotic dictatorship. How about Nebuchadnezzar? How about Alexander? How about Nimrod? Where do you think they came from? God put a despotic government over the Jews because they rejected Jesus. And boy, they got hammered. Awful bad. Jerusalem got tore up. How about that? We turn away from God, it's what happens, man. What do you expect? So now what you're doing, what they're doing, your Chuck Baldwins and all these others, are promoting rebellion which absolutely will fail. Armed rebellion always has failed in this country since 1700s. It never has won, ever. We've been under financial bondage, controlled by the Vatican, controlled by the English government, since 1789. They lied to you. I got the evidence on that, man. Paris Peace Treaty confirms it. 70-year bank cycle. 1789, 1859, 1929. We're supposed to be in a new world order about at least 1999, before the year 2001. But it never happened. You recall a little while ago when I read you the quote by FDR, have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt? I'm going to declare a dictatorship. That sounds a little odd. Well, when you look later, I proved the other day that there's like six other attempts since 1939. Well, let me tell you a little quickly about that. He was working with Churchill and his cousin Hitler on a six-phase program in World War II to bring the world under dictatorship. And the fifth phase was conquest of Paris and England, as facilitated by Hitler and Churchill. Churchill was a Knights of Malta. And then when that was accomplished, which it wasn't, the Japanese were supposed to have taken Pearl Harbor, use it as a base of operations, to continue their assault in the West Coast. And the sixth phase would have continued in 1942. By 1943, Hitler was to cross over the Atlantic in the assault to Nova Scotia, into Canada, and sweep south through the Midwest, through the Great Lakes. You say, well, that would be impossible. No, because confirmed, FDR was playing a dictatorship. They just walked on in. Now you see what they'd planned? It all matches together. But it all fell apart. You know why? Because God's in control, not them. See what God has done all along? He's been there for you, keeping him at bay because you're praying, because you trust in him. He didn't take out the world in the flood till there was no one left except eight people. He didn't take out Sodom and Gomorrah until he took out Lot. Oh. So when we all fall away, when they fall away here, he's going to take out those that follow him. And there's coming judgment on this earth like it's never seen before. Because the scriptures confirm it. But in the meantime, Bill Cooper had talked about many times when he was alive before they assassinated him that, like they did Larry McDonald, and many others, Barry Jennings, the numbers are massive, that America, as they'd planned, was the last bastion of freedom. And it was planned that way, by the way. Ever since, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me, so I'll leave that alone for now. That'll get me started down another rabbit hole. And we are, and it's planned that way. You got millions of U.S. soldiers already here. Spetsnaz, Chinese military, Europeans already here in deep underground military bases, and bases that they closed down as foreign troops already there. And in Mexico, South America, Cuba, and other places. And our own Joint Chief of Staff, congressmen that are Freemasons and Knights of Malta, etc., are working with them. Because their loyalty is not to America, it's to their secret society and New World Order and New Atlantis. This is their real loyalty. Pretending to be, they lose it along the way. Oh, yeah. Which brings me to mind. Something I want to the several films come out about the New World Order. Quotes. Just confirm that there's no doubt that the New World Order exists. No question whatsoever. And they promise them all kinds of benefits for it if they follow along with it. If you don't, you'll be left behind. Well, they believe this. And so they give up their lives. They take the blood oath as a four-star general. They think they're going to win, and they will not. Rewards, benefits, eternal life, all this is promised them, but it's a lie. So, the one thing, and here's my point. Right now, the thing holding them back, as they'd already anticipated, been working on it since 1948, is America. And what's in America? Guns. Guns. I mean, I know people's got 15 guns. Now, my question to them was, how many of them can you shoot at one time? Where are going to get your ammo? When you run out of ammo, then what you going to do? You know. Anyway, everybody's got a gun. In America, it's a pastime, man. It's a pastime here in America. It's carrying a weapon, having weapons, and so forth. And so it brings us to a point when we follow Jesus Christ. What do? What is his rules? What does he want us to do? Because that's what it boils down to. What the Bible says about it. Now, I can definitely see we're going into tomorrow. I got another 45 minutes to go. But I have a lot to tell y'all to close this thing down. And it could go another 2 days. You need to know. Because family is coming around. When they change the laws of the land, we're obliged to turn into weapons. Now, that's the school book answer. And therein lies my personal problem about Romans 13, what I'm supposed to do, as the Bible tells me to do, to abide by the laws of the land, and turn in any, well, slingshots that I have, and home protection and what have you. I saw this happen in Kosovo. I was there 5 years. They're taking the weapons away from Serbs that were the subjugated group, the subjugated culture after the war. Albanians were killing them left and right. 1,500 Serbs were killed over about a 3-4 year period in Kosovo. I know. But they were orchestrated by CIA, the Braggles, rebel groups in Pristina, Gilani, other places. They'd search out Serbs. They would kill a family in one village. It'd be cleared out the next day. We helped facilitate that. Yeah, we sure did. That's one of the reasons why I kept bringing it up at the meetings. Why are we doing this? Why is Al-Qaeda running around in my region? My 7-year contract with OSCE ended up being 5. Because I don't shut up for nobody. So it does affect your job longevity, by the way. But I was not going to shut up. And this is all documented, too, by the way. I saw it. In other words, the point is, I saw it. I know it. Well, I see the same thing here in America. And thanks to Nixon, February the 12th, 1972, Executive Order 11647, he has balkanized, broken up the United States since he was playing a coup also. That's correct. 10 regions, 5 states each. That's called balkanization. And you're going to find that the states are going to look for excuses to secede from the Union under whatever excuse they come up with. Gun control or abortion or whatever it is they're going to come up with to give an excuse to secede. And the underlying reason will be to join the regions under FEMA. Balkanize and break up the United States. Our own people are planning this. They're secret societies. That's how they're going to do it. But they need a crisis to justify it. Oh, it's coming. Well, when all this takes place and they justify martial law because of helter-skelter or violence or something that happens, they cut off the ATMs or dollar crashes or something that's going to happen, whatever it is, they declare martial law. Like FDR planned, like Nixon planned, like Bush had planned, Nixon had planned. Oh, they all planned it, but it's all failed. I guess studies are never one of them. I already talked about that the past couple of days. I'm not going over it now. This one's going to be different. They got to find an incident that happens. Now, when it does, but for our safety and yours, you must turn in your weapons. And we'll want to. You know why? Because they're going to release hell in the United States by the felons, the Crips, Bloods, other gang members, mercenaries, and all this. This is a part of it. And we'll want protection because the average American don't have a clue. And they'll support. They'll pass the law. They'll be supported. And so if you have a weapon, your neighbor's going to tell on you. Now you see what's going on? They'll give you a 30-day grace period. And then they're going to come get them. And they'll be justified. It's for your protection. Martial law. And dictatorship by consent. Now, do you think that's wild? Do you think that's crazy? Do you think that's not going to happen? You think, how could that happen in America? Really? Well, I probably, how much time do I have? I think I got time. I got a lot of listeners today, and some of you hadn't heard what I've been saying before. Some of you have. Some of you hear some of the same things I've said before, but I have to say them to, as you've noticed, to connect the dots. So you think it's not possible in America, new listeners? Well, now, old listeners, bear with me here, please. But I think some new listeners need to hear this from last year.
So things are getting nutty in D.C., and people are concerned about our Constitution and whether or not, you know, we're maintaining the integrity of our Constitution, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Rick Joyner, Pastor Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries, he's genuinely concerned about the disregard for our Constitution, which is why he's praying for God to manufacture a military takeover of the United States government. On a recent TV episode, it's funny, but it's not funny because he's really serious. And he's connected up with some like military people. He said this: there's no way our republic can last much longer. It may not last through Obama's second term. There's a glib, almost joyful disregard of the Constitution, a belittling of the Constitution. We're headed for serious tyranny, is what he says. So, Pastor Joyner, please tell us what we can do. I'm concerned about our Constitution, too. What can we do to save it? Let's see what he has to offer.
The kingdom of God is coming. And America is not the kingdom of God. We're not the new Jerusalem. I think we've been used in some wonderful and powerful ways by God. We've been one of the most generous nations in history. We've done so much good. And that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us. And as I've started telling friends for a long time, that no election's going to get the right person in there that can restore us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now, the whole system. I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law, and that the crucial, most crucial element of that is who the marshal is going to be. I believe there are noble leaders in our military.
Well, I hope God is watching his little TV station there.
I'm shocked that he would ask for specifically a military takeover. Oftentimes their messages are slightly more subtle.
And even more specifically, he says, I believe that there are noble leaders in our military that love the Republic, love everything that we stand for, and they could seize the government. And what's important to him, as he said, is who those people are within the military. So who might those noble marshals be, Pastor Joyner? Well, Rick Joyner is the president of the Oak Initiative, which is their own website describes them as a grassroots movement to unite, mobilize, equip, and activate Christians. And among the ministers and Christian lobbyists that comprise the 14 board member of the Oak, listed directly below the chair and the president is retired Army General Jerry Boykin. And this is how Boykin is described in the Oaks Initiative own website. Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit in America's ultra-secretive and deadly Delta Force. That's who I want as part of my Christian army.
That's unbelievable. You know what? The hypocrisy here is just egregious, right? So one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not kill. Period. It's not thou shalt not kill unless it's convenient to our political agenda. It's unbelievable, especially to have people that have essentially trained to kill others on their board and on their team.
Besides the fact of the hypocrisy of they're so concerned about the Constitution that they want to usurp the Constitution. So on a recent show, General Boykin and Pastor Joyner discussed the excitement that the end times were near and that the only thing that needs to happen in order for the end times is for a prophecy to take place, Isaiah's prophecy of the destruction of Damascus, Syria. So they're like
super excited about the destruction.
They're geared up. Yeah. Oh, goody, grab the popcorn, you know. End days are coming, but not before Joyner and Boykin elicit God's help to save the Constitution by suspending the Constitution.
All revolution of any kind is forbid by God. Rick Joyner and Jared Boykin are Knights of Malta. Boykin is a High Chancellor. Churchill was a Knight of Malta. FDR was a member of the secret societies. Rupert Murdoch is a member of the Knights of Malta. You got the idea? Now, watch this. Quote, Franklin Roosevelt, then Assistant Secretary of the Navy, was upset over America's slowness in entering World War I. He had been in constant conflict with his chief, Secretary of the Navy, Joseph Daniels, over the issue. Quote, Daniels resisted every move, quoting Franklin Roosevelt in his diary. Written by historian Joseph Lash, from Roosevelt's diary commentary. Okay, quote, Daniels resisted every move that might carry the United States into the war. He opposed the arming of merchant ships, intentionally provoking the German Navy into believing the ship was a ship of war. Roosevelt favored both. And when the filibuster prevented congressional authorization of the arming of merchantmen, Roosevelt was impatient with Woodrow Wilson for not immediately using his executive power to arm the ships. Democrat Roosevelt, and by the way, Democrats and Republicans are just as guilty as the other. Democrat Roosevelt dined at the Metropolitan Club with a group of Republican war hawks. That's how they work it. The primary topic of discussion was, according to Roosevelt's diary, quote, how to make administration steer a clear course to uphold rights, unquote. Lash says, I quote, this was a euphemism for an aggressive policy on the high seas that would result in instances and involve the United States in a war, unquote. Now, having determined that the U.S. would be brought into a war by an incident on the sea, it's back 1917, 18, or 1915, work began on a plan to do just that. Remember, 1909? Carnegie Peace Foundation discussed how the best way to control people was war. They discussed how to do it. 5 years later, we're in a war. Yeah. Quote, Colin Simpson, began quote, Cunard Shipping Lines, owner of the Lusitania, turned the ship over to the British First Lord of the Admiralty, Winston Churchill, who was a Knights of Malta, by the way, like Boykin and Rick Joyner. They're all Knights of Malta. It don't matter which generation. They're all murderers. Winston Churchill. The ship was sent to New York City, where it was loaded with 6 million rounds of ammunition, bought and paid for by J.P. Morgan and Company. Before it set sail for England, the German government warned Secretary of State William Jennings Bryan and President Woodrow Wilson that it would be sunk and innocent passengers killed. Wilson and Bryan did nothing. As the ship entered the English Channel on May the 7th, 1915, Churchill ordered the single British escort ship to abandon the Lusitania. Now a set and duck, it was sunk by three German U-boats, and 1,201 innocent lives were lost. One well-known author of a book on Lusitania called it, I quote, the foulest act of willful murder ever committed on the seas, unquote. You know the Rockefellers made $200 million in World War I? Did you know that Admiral Robert Theobald, commander of all destroyers at Pearl Harbor, said, and I quote, President Roosevelt forced Japan to war, enticed them to initiate hostilities by holding the Pacific Fleet in Hawaii waters as an invitation to that attack. The plans to use Pearl Harbor as bait started in June 1940, actually it's 1920. Roosevelt, Marshal, Army Chief of Staff, and Stark, Admiral, Chief of Naval Operations, knew about Pearl Harbor 21 hours before the attack, unquote. Family, these Joint Chief of Staff, even today, are traitors as they were back then, because their allegiances go to the secret societies, not to America, not to you. However, this does not call for revolution, because this plays right into their hands. Armed revolution. You have no one on either side that you can trust except Jesus Christ. And they don't want you to know that. A judgment is coming on this country. A judgment is coming on this world. All the sin, all the murder in Pol Pot, Saddam Hussein, the Vatican for 600 years of murder, and every one of them, they'll all be judged in God's time. You see, he's got handles on that. Our job is not revolt, revolution. Our job is to pass the word, spread the word of the gospel. That's what our job is. And refuse to do what the government tells us to do when it goes against God. But when it doesn't, we do what Caesar says. When it goes against God, you refuse to do what Caesar says. But it doesn't call for you to go against using weapons. It will not work. It never has in our entire history. Here's what I'm telling you. As you see with them, they're trying to get you all to go into a military takeover, which will justify martial law, and you will not get your rights back. The UN will take over. The Knights of Malta members are liars, and they work for the Vatican. This is why they have to vilify, and he's a party to it, Obama, with the play acting of him being a Muslim. They have to have that boogeyman. Obama's a part of it. He knows it. He's playing his role as he's given. And they are too. The Bible in self-defense. What does the Bible say about all that? What are we really supposed to do? Well, what we're really supposed to do in self-defense goes against our grain. It goes against my grain. It gives me a migraine. But that's my problem that I have to deal with. I'm taught to teach people and myself self-defense and personal protection and all that. I've had it ingrained in my system, my DNA, if you want to call it that. So to do what the Bible tells me to do, to turn the other cheek, I'm having a problem with that. But that's what I have to do. And I have to teach it. I have to say it. I can't go the way I would want to, because it wouldn't be right. Even though I think you understand what I mean. So this is a struggle I'm having. Because I know about turning the other cheek. Someone slapped me on one side. I know what I want to do. But that's not what Jesus wants me to do. This is hard. But I have to tell you that for me to hit back, to destroy their body, would be the wrong thing to do. Now, where does personal protection come in on this? Oh. Personal protection is allowed. And I will, well, that's where it gets kind of sticky. So you just kind of bear with me here. You see, when I get together, first of all, should a Christian own weapons? We'll start with that. And then I'll move into what does the Bible say about self-defense? I think it's a good start. I've laid the groundwork. So now we get kind of sticky, and I will cover this tomorrow also. There's a growing level, and quite the understatement, of violence in our world, in our country, exactly. And the extolment of peace in the scriptures, there's a lot of debate among Christians regarding whether it's appropriate for a Christian to own a weapon. However, when you look at a comprehensive look at the Bible, it offers insight regarding, well, I guess in history, practices that inform this issue today. We have examples of the apostles, for example, who owned weapons. Well, that's a start. On the night Jesus was betrayed, that very night, in Luke 22:37-39, Jesus was being arrested, remember? Peter, who by the way was never the first pope, I had to throw that in there. He wasn't. Paul went to the Romans. Peter went to the Jews. Peter sliced off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest in John 18:10, if you recall. And Jesus healed the man instantly in Luke 22:51. He commanded Peter to put away his weapon, as in John 18:11. Now, what he didn't do, what Jesus didn't do, he didn't condemn him owning a sword, but only his particular use of it. On another occasion, soldiers came to be baptized by John the Baptist, and when asked what to do to live for God, John told them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation. And be content with your wages," Luke 3:14. But see, John stopped short of telling them to lay down their weapons. And then there's David. He prays God, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. Psalms 144:1. It's there. See, the Old Testament, though, is a little different than the New Testament, though. There's a little difference there. The Old Testament contains other examples of godly men who owned and used weapons, usually in the context of warfare. Samson, David, Joshua. How about that one angel that killed 100,000 in one night of Assyrians? There's a story for Hollywood to play, but this was real. About Samson. That's Old Testament, though. There is a difference there now, I will admit. The Bible never forbid a Christian from owning a weapon, but it does offer some principles to consider. First, as Christians, you're called peacemakers. A peacemaker don't mean you go in and kill the enemy and then there's your peace. No. Although as a Marine, it's what we were taught and it's what I taught. That's not what it means. A Christian considered the purchase of a weapon should prayerfully consider if doing so would aid in peacemaking. That's between you and your Lord. Secondly, a Christian should only own a weapon for a purpose that would honor God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. See, using a weapon for hunting, military, or law enforcement duty, or self-defense may honor God. Still, a person should reflect on their motives for owning a particular weapon. What's your motives? Thirdly, a Christian should abide by local laws, including gun laws. We go to Romans 13. It's not against the law to own a weapon. But what happens when they change the laws because of martial law? No, now what? Oh, it's coming. What Rick Joyner's not saying is when they declare martial law, he's not telling you they're going to ban weapons. Isn't this sneaky? He's a sneaky individual. One of the most evil men on the face of this planet besides the rest of them that are Knights of Malta can look you square in the face and claim to be a Christian and claim to be a patriot. And they've taken a right now, or after the broadcast, do this. Look up the oath of a Jesuit. Do it. Actually, do it. Take the steps and do it, which is cataloged in the Congress. Library of Congress. You can look it up on the internet. I don't trust the internet. Really? You ever been to college before? I guess they got to close the colleges down, don't they? Because they use the internet, by the way. So you look up Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars, Jesuits. Look up their blood oath and you tell me whose side they're on. And you're going to get some lame excuse why they took that oath, why they're members of Knights of Malta. All they're doing is covering their past. Romans 13 is clear that governing authorities are from God, whether good or bad, are to be obeyed until they cause you to sin against God, then no more obeyance. But that don't mean you go out and start killing them and blowing up bridges and killing your local, I don't know, whatever. Or you go to Bundy Ranch and veterans are against the police, and the police against the veterans, there's a problem there. When are y'all going to wake up? You see what they're doing here? They're causing the violence to justify martial law. This is the purpose of it. This is the only purpose. We are to pray on behalf of governing leaders who oversees our communities and nation. 1 Timothy 2. In 1 Timothy 2, just bear with me here a second. Oh, yeah. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 2. I exhort, therefore, I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. They're trying to make it to where you don't live that way. All this conflict, they're causing it to happen that way. Joint Chief of Staff, your Congress, you Tea Party guys and your Rambo types that's out there doing the Rambo stuff going on, the only answer you're going to get, it's not this Constitution nonsense. Constitution was rendered null and void in 1938 by Tompkins versus the Erie Railroad. And goes back to martial law was established by Lincoln in 1860s. Man, we don't have a Constitution. So they're putting it over your head, placating the Tea Party, the militia, and the Patriots are being placated. We got to get back that Constitution. They're making you go around circles. That's what the Tea Party is for. They're jerking your chain. What they're doing at these patriotic meetings, they're not telling you the whole truth. They're lying to you, causing you to tell, slowing you down from taking active steps. There's nothing sinful about owning a gun or other weapon. A weapon can be useful and even necessary in some contexts at the same time. But Christians, born-again Christians, should carefully consider the motive and the purpose of owning a weapon. Local ordinances should be followed. They're showing you today two things on the news constantly. One, that having a weapon, and sure enough, has saved a lot of lives in home invasions and so forth. That's a given. But what else are they showing you? On the other side, massively, a woman with a 9mm in her pocketbook gets killed by her 2-year-old son. I've not figured that one out yet. Unless it's double, I'm not even going to go there. But anyway, that's what's reported. About a Marine that kills his wife and his son and kills himself. And it just goes on and on. So one way they're showing you the weapons are helpful. Another way they're showing you weapons are killing indiscriminately. When a 15-year-old girl who's been abused and locked up in her bedroom, it's like, I think, last week, finally got out of the bedroom. She's angry at her 16, 17-year-old brother. Snuck out, got into the family's or the parents' bedroom, knew where the weapon was, then went through and killed her brother. He's ticked off at him. Killed him. This is constantly being reported. So those that want to get rid of the weapons will approve of it. And those who want to keep the weapons, when it's taken away, you'll feel helpless or resist to justify martial law. This is how they think. Now, what does the Bible say about self-defense? Oh, well, you know, without close study, the Bible can give conflicting instructions on self-defense. There's a lot of passages that speak of Christians being pacifistic. Proverbs 25, 21 to 22 says that if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Matthew 5:39. And see, I have to be neutral. I have to tell you both sides of this. You know, I can't, I'm not going to get up here and say, you know, hold on to your weapons and fight to the death. And I can't tell you all that Rambo stuff. I got to tell you the truth here, family. And you make up your mind. That's how I do it. Matthew 5:39. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. In Romans 12:17. recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now, there's a lot of passages that talk about war and violence that God approves of, such as David slaying Goliath, 1 Samuel 17. Not to mention the fact that God commanded the Israelites to completely destroy everyone and everything in the promised land. So what's the conclusion? Is God for violence or not? Under what circumstances do we have self-defense? Well, one thing to know, that before the New Testament was the Old Testament, and the ones in the villages that the Israelites took out were hybrids. DNA manipulated. DNA of the fallen angels and the daughters of man. They were not human DNA. They were giants in the earth in those days. The Anunnaki. There's like three or four. There were millions of them. The flood. God killed an entire world because of the manipulation of the DNA by the fallen angels. Except for eight people. Noah, wife, three sons, three wives. And animals that were not DNA manipulated. That was the purpose of it all along. The Nephilim. He had to wipe out the corrupted DNA that Satan had infused into the system. Now, there's more to it, but that's the bottom line. I can't go into detail right now. That's exactly what happened. Well, after the flood, this fallen angels, 200 of them, came back, started manipulating the DNA, brought paganism through Nimrod, and here we go again. God is not yet, at that point, taking the throne. Satan's still prince of the world. Still time to ferret out in the Old Testament those for Jesus, those not, for God knows not. Which is still going on today. But Jesus does tell the disciples to get a sword. Remember? Luke 22. Jesus knew that now was a time when Jesus would be threatened and later killed. His followers would be threatened as well. So Jesus was given approval of the fact that one has a right to self-defense. But now a few verses later, you see Jesus being arrested. Right? Well, Peter takes a sword, cuts off somebody's ear, and Jesus rebukes him for that act. Why? Because Peter was trying to stop something that Jesus had been telling his disciples was in fact going to happen. In other words, Peter was acting unwisely in the situation. He was trying to stop something that was not supposed to be stopped. You have to be wise as to when to fight and when not to. Now, as far as self-defense, when one's life or property is threatened, there's not a lot in the Bible concerning this, actually. In Exodus 22, if you look it up, it shows quite a bit about God's attitude toward self-defense. If a thief is caught breaking in and struck so that he dies, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed. But if it happens after sunrise, he's guilty of bloodshed. A thief must certainly make restitution. But if he has nothing, he must be sold to pay for his theft. Exodus 22, verse 2 to 3. But that's Old Testament now. So, we see here that when a thief breaks into someone's house at night, that person defends his home, slays the thief. God does not hold that death over the defender's head. However, God doesn't wish for anyone to take the law in their own hands. That's why it's said that if a thief is struck down during the daylight, the defender is guilty of bloodshed. Now, this is speaking of thievery, not an attack. So if the thief were to attack the defender, even during the day, self-defense would be justified against the motives. You know, the proper use of self-defense has to do with wisdom, understanding, and tact. I saw a video, YouTube, of an actual video of a crazy kid that's pushing this Marine. The Marine has a fig leaf position, and he's getting pushed. two, three, four, five times until that's enough. So he pushes the guy back, takes a stance like, hey, you know, I've had enough. The guy comes up again, runs his mouth, and pop, down he goes. The kid goes down. But he took a lot before he took him down. You know, many karate classes, which I taught for 30 years, actually, and also military and also law enforcement, I've taught all of them. You restrain your physical abilities by spiritual attainment, is one way of putting it. That's one of the principles. It's a fancy way of saying that since one has the ability to bring great harm, that doesn't mean that they need to use it, unless at the last moment. Now, we haven't got to the part about war yet. Because you can break somebody's arm, doesn't mean you need to use that ability. Just because we have a gun doesn't mean we need to fire someone who breaks into the home. But then again, it depends on the situation. Again. And when a situation like that develops, you got to make a decision in a split second. So that means you've already had to talk about it before it ever happens. When you buy a gun, you better start thinking. Listen to the classes. Study, pray. Because you don't fake. When you say, get out of my home, and you cock and lock and load, you're not faking. If you're faking, they're going to use it against you. So when you pull a gun on somebody, you're going to shoot. If they attack you, you're not just going to hopefully just run away, because what if they don't? You better know what you're doing. If you shoot someone innocent, oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. Because when you fire that weapon, that bullet don't have any friends at all. And you got a weapon that's up close and personal, and it goes through somebody, through the wall, or through the window, kills somebody across the street, you got a serious problem on your hands. There's a cop recently, I don't remember the name of the place right now, about 3, 4, 5 days ago, that I don't know what they're being taught today. The ADL, they have no business teaching anything. ADL need to be kicked out of this country. But they're there. Nevertheless, the cop shot someone innocent, thought it was a threat to his life, and realized the person was unarmed, and the cop just broke down and started crying. When you kill someone, it don't matter what the reason is, it will change your life forever. When you, I'll tell you this right off the bat, when you break somebody's arm, you hear that snap, and they start screaming, that changes you a little bit, too. But when you kill somebody, when you kill somebody, that's a whole ball game one step up. It changes your life forever, no matter what reason it is. Don't matter. So you're going to harden yourself. The second one becomes easier, or you're just going to go to pieces. And you say, I just don't want to do this anymore. It's not what you think it is. It's the movies, TV. Here we go. Movies, TV, video games. Desensitize is training. But you can never what's the word I want to use here? I can't think of it right now. We're about the end of the program. Simulate an actual shooting again when you're in the middle of it. There's no referees. You can't simulate that. You can try, but you can never do it. When your life is threatened, no matter what it is, your body, that moment, when your mind perceives your life is threatened, your body goes through 4,000 chemical changes at one time. Bam! Just like that. The way to deal with it, if you haven't dealt with it before, is control your breathing. Otherwise, you're going to freak out. Unless you've trained before. Anyway, tomorrow we'll go to the next step. More about gun control. More about weaponry and what the Bible says about self-defense, arms control on a high level. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Remind you all that we're played up in highportradio.net, highportradio.net, John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, highpointradio.net. He plays my broadcast and Bible studies in New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. He's moving right along. His site's looking really good. His listeners, and he's doing it good up there, and he's playing my broadcast and Bible studies. My website, watchmanforjesus.com. My Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And I appreciate y'all coming by. Tonight, Bible study, Daniel's 70th week in summary, and some more information about the end times events as they're coming. 8 to 9 tonight, Eastern Standard Time, on my website. So thank you all for coming by. And as you can see, my broadcasts are not for the squeamish. And I don't hold much back. So anyway, for now, y'all have a good night. God bless you. Seek Jesus Christ. He is the only answer. The only answer is through Jesus. And the answer for the Joint Chief of Staff is in the Bible. The only answer they got, the only answer Tea Party you got, is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That is the only solution. There is, or there are, no others. Y'all have a good night. God bless. And know that Jesus is there for you. It's your watchman. Signing off.
I am with you every day.